Jared Allen, at least contractually now, tied to the Cavaliers for the next 5 years to get to the bottom, to the nits and the grits. We actually might have to get Lima in to talk about if he thinks that Cavs fans are losers for not liking this deal, because Lima already went after Guardians fans today for being content with not mediocrity. But our next guest, he's better than Lima. Cleveland Magazine, the Locked On Cavs podcast, Danny Cunningham, 92.3 The Fan, now joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Danny, how you doing, friend?
I'm good. I'll try and take you out of context a little bit less than Lima does, at least.
Oh, you were piling on there, Danny Cunningham. I have not forgot that at all, my friend. So
I'm glad. I didn't think you would.
So for their fans out there, very upset about this. We got a Twitter space that is just all caps, no. Can you put the Jared Allen contract extension into proper perspective for us?
So this, I think, is a good move on a couple of fronts. One, and I understand if you're not thrilled about this as a Cavs fan, because this locks the Cavs into who they are for at least this upcoming season, where obviously you don't want to trade Donovan Mitchell, being the star, superstar caliber player he is. Evan Mobley is not eligible to be traded now that he signed that extension. Jared Allen, I don't believe will be eligible to be traded this season at all. If he will be, it will only be for a very short period of time, like 6 months after you sign this, between then and the trade deadline in February. So the Cavs are going to be this team next year. The core four is going to be back, because then you talk about Darius Garland, and I just don't think that there's necessarily a ton of trade value for him. Like, his value is just not in a good spot right now with the rest of the league. So this locks in the core four for another year, and I understand possibly being upset about that. But I also think what this does is this locks in Jared Allen at what I still believe to be under market value for him. Like, if Jared Allen were to hit free agency, I think he could get more money than what he agreed to with the Cavs today. So from an asset standpoint, I think it's a good deal for them, because he's got two more years left at $20 million. And I didn't think this would happen, guys, because I didn't think he would agree to a number that's below his market value, which, to really dive into it, you can extend your contract. You can get a 140% raise off your final year. So he makes $20 million in the last year of his current deal. So that next deal starts at $28 million and goes up, unlike his current one. So that's why I'm surprised this happened. Not because Jared Allen is not good, but because I didn't think the Cavs would be able to get him to agree to a contract extension at a number less than his value. The Cavs are going to be similar to what they were last year. Maybe Kenny Atkinson can really bring some internal growth, but that's where I'm at with this.
All right, so Danny, let me ask you this. I mean, in 5 years, is Allen still here? I mean, is he here even in 3 years?
I would venture to guess, if everything goes really, really well with Evan Mobley, the answer is probably no. But that's okay, because he's locked in at this point. And listen, I just talked about how I think that it's, you know, a below market deal numbers wise for him. I actually think that this probably, with the way that the NBA is trending cap-wise and how much money teams can spend, I think that his contract became more tradable today. Obviously, that trade's not going to be in the near future, and it might never come. But I think that he's going to be a guy that, as long as he keeps up the caliber of play he had this past year, he's going to be very attractive to a lot of teams in the NBA. So if I had to guess, will he finish this contract in Cleveland? I would guess no. But anything is possible, and if he doesn't, the Cavs should be able to get quite a bit for him in the trade market down the road if that's the avenue they want to go.
Danny, looking at what the offseason has been so far, they had a first-round pick. They took a player with that pick. He played in the summer league, and we had the same Amani Bates conversations we did a year ago of, hey, this guy could be great this year, despite the fact he was the 20th pick in the NBA draft, but I digress. Then the three big moves they've made are contract extensions. If that's all they do, are you giving the Cavs, or what grade are you giving the Cavs for their offseason pursuits this year?
I would probably give them somewhere in the B range. You know, it wasn't some blow you out of the water offseason. I do really, and the thing that, you know, I don't think that you mentioned is hiring Kenny Atkinson. And I do like Kenny Atkinson quite a bit. I liked what he did in Brooklyn. I think being around the Warriors for the last several years has been something that will be very good for his coaching career. And I think that that's probably a big reason, too, why Jared Allen signed this extension, or will sign this extension, has agreed to this extension, because I think that Jared Allen believes in Kenny Atkinson, and I think Kenny Atkinson really believes in Jared Allen. So So I do think that that is something that you have to bring up. I don't think that this team, however, went from a second round playoff exit team to a championship contender this offseason. The way they do that is if Evan Mobley becomes a star. I don't think that is any different than it was if we would have had this conversation in April. So it's an offseason that, at the surface, it's not some overly impressive thing. They didn't go out and land a guy like Paul George the way the Sixers did. But if you would have told me 5 or 6 months ago, hey, they're going to re-sign Donovan Mitchell, I would probably sign up for anything else that came along with that offseason. And they accomplished that. So the rest of this stuff, I think, does make sense.
Danny, I feel like we've been talking about this for several years. Mobley and Allen, how do they fit together?
Evan Mobley has to be a more willing shooter from the outside. That's a big part of it. I know he shot 37% from three last year, and that's great. But he only took 1.2 a game. He needs to take like 3 or 4 of those a game. He needs to become a better offensive player for those two to work. Defensively, there's no questions. I don't think anyone has questions about that. Like, they are one of the best defensive duos in all of basketball that doesn't need any fixing. It's at the offensive end. Evan Mobley needs to become a guy that can create more space for the rest of the roster, because if he creates more space for everyone else on the floor, naturally he's going to have more room to operate as well. So that's how this works. If this does not work offensively, I don't think it's because of Jarrett Allen. I think it's because Evan Mobley doesn't develop into the offensive player that everyone thought he would become.
Danny Cunningham, Cleveland Magazine, also the Locked On Cavs podcast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, reacting to Jarrett Allen's 3-year, $91 million extension with the Cavaliers on top of his existing 2-year, $40 million that's left on his current contract. So can I talk you into Jarrett Allen starting to shoot three-pointers? Is that another way that this could work between Evan and Jarrett?
You can, but how many is he going to take, right? So when he played under Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn, like, he took more three-pointers in Brooklyn than he has in Cleveland. But that number was like 0.7 or 0.6 per game. So he's not like he's some volume shooter. I don't know that that's where he's going to be best utilized. Maybe he develops into that guy. And look, you know, Brook Lopez was never that guy. And then in Brooklyn, he turned into that guy, and now he is the ultimate 7-foot space creator for the Milwaukee Bucks, even at 37 or 38 years old, however old he is. So maybe, but that's something that I would be more surprised if the Cavs find space because of Jarrett Allen shooting threes than if Evan Mobley becomes, you know, a guy that can take 5 a game and still shoot 37%.
Danny, does this mean we can count out some sort of reunion with Marcus Morris and the Cavs this year?
I would be surprised. Yeah, I think that might be something that gets ruled out. I, you know, you can never say never to those types of things. But after the comments he had on what was that, FanDuel TV or something like that, I'd be surprised if he would be back.
I just like if Kobe Altman went all Thunderdome with this. Like, I'm gonna lock you in a room for 82 games, and you guys figure it out. And by like it, I mean it would at least pique my curiosity. So we've talked, Danny, about the lack of moves from the Cavaliers. If there is one move out there to be made before the season gets underway, what's that move for the Cavaliers?
I think that move would – the move that I would most like to see, and, you know, it takes two to tango here.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I would love to see the Cavs trade for Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets, whether that is a sign-and-trade with Isaac Okoro and some more stuff, whether that's a package built around Caris LeVert, whether it's a three-team deal. I don't know what the specifics of that would look like. I don't know exactly how much interest the Nets have in Isaac Okoro, but that would be the guy that, if he would end up on the Cavs, I would probably bump that offseason grade up that we talked about just a little bit more. I think that he's someone that could really fit in well with this team. I think he has a lot of skills that the Cavs are missing, and that's the move that's still on the board that I'd like to see them make. I don't know how likely it is, because I don't know that Brooklyn is all that interested in what the Cavs have.
So with all that being said, if the Cavs move before the season is to shed salary to give them a little bit more space, I know they can renounce the rights to Isaac Okoro, which I don't expect them to do, but you know, there's been speculation, maybe move on from Karras because he's on an expiring contract. Strus, Niang, some of these names here, what name would be most likely to go if the Cavs were to look to just shed a little bit more payroll and get a little bit more space from the apron?
My belief is that would be Karis LeVert, because I don't think you would have to attach anything to him to get him off the books. I think he's a good player. I think a lot of teams in the NBA think he's a good player. I'm not sure that a lot of teams would say the same about George Niang. I think he'd be a little bit harder to move. Even though his salary is a little bit less, he's not an expiring deal the way you mentioned with Karis LeVert. So if they were to shed salary, that is the way I would look at it. I get the sense this is a team that does not want to be in the tax this year, because they are going to get very, very, very expensive, guys, over the next several years. If you take a look at the first year of Jarrett Allen's contract extension, when that kicks in, that'll be the 26-27 season. So a long way down the road from now. But they have over $170 million, I believe it's $178 million, committed to five guys in Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Max Strus, and Jared Allen. The salary cap is projected to be about $170 million. So that tells you that team's going to be in the tax, and they don't want to have to deal with the repeater tax. So I think they want to hold off on starting that clock until probably the season after this upcoming one.
Danny, South Sudan, currently giving some fits here to Team USA. Let me ask you, if a player played in the NBA last year, say JT Thor, say Wenyen Gabriel, would you consider them NBA players?
I would, yes. I think that's a fair thing, and I would also consider guys that are on two ways to be NBA players for the intents and purposes of counting the Olympics. South Sudan's not some, like, they're not, obviously, I don't think, a medal candidate, but they're not some joke of a team either.
So if we had South Sudan face off against the best team last year from college basketball, who would you pick to win?
I would pick South Sudan to win that game. I think that there's more talent. I think that they are just physically more developed in a way that, you know, UConn was the best team, I think we could probably agree, in college basketball, right? They're just physically more developed than a college basketball team. Now, is it impossible for UConn to win a game against them? No, of course not. That's a doable thing. But I would think South Sudan would win more games there than they would lose.
I've heard that they are nothing but scrubs and bubs from Keith Britton. Now, one more here. If we had this Team USA with all this talent, if we face them off against the Dream Team, who would win?
I would probably pick this Team USA, because I don't think that there's anyone really in the history of basketball, but certainly not on that Dream Team, that would just give Kevin Durant fits. Like, as long as Kevin Durant's healthy, you saw what he did in that first half against Serbia on what day was that, Sunday, when they played. I just don't think that there's ever been an answer in the history of basketball for that. So I would pick this version of Team USA, even though he's 35 and LeBron's 39 and Steph Curry's 35, I'd still pick this team.
All right, Danny, were you incensed at the Guardians' lack of impact trades of the deadline? Actually, let's start at the beginning, because I'm editorializing this. Grade the Guardians' deadline approach.
See, like, I'm just not enthused by it. And I understand the market, and I get all that stuff, but they're two pitching pickups, and I'm counting, you know, I'm not just counting Alex Cobb in here, I'm counting Boyd here, too. But they're two pickups and I like Lane Thomas. That's a fine move. I'm on board with that move. But they're two pitching pickups. The area where they needed the most help, in my opinion, are guys that have combined to throw no innings of Major League Baseball this year. That does not exactly get my engine running.
What gets your engine running?
A frontline starter would have.
Ooh. Like that sounds like high test right there. Danny, great stuff. Thank you so much for hopping on in short order here, buddy. Did not expect to have you today. Always a joy. Next time, though, I need you to challenge Lima more. I need you to go toe-to-toe with him. And I need you to...
You know, we agreed a little too much. Like, I think that with a lot of things that were of like on the top of our minds last week. We just had similar opinions, and I wasn't going to lie to people about how I felt. I'm not going to lie to people. I'm going to be myself.
I think you should lie to people next. Danny,
that's Lima's job. Lima can do that. Lima can lie.
That is Lima's job. That's very good. Danny, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much, Danny.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham of Cleveland Magazine and the Locked On Cavs podcast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He does have an emergency podcast coming together. He's going to be either taping that or has taped it. So be on the lookout for the Locked On Cavs reaction to the Jared Allen deal.